Solid, solid. Okay. Josh, was that your first clap sync on the podcast?
On the podcast,
yes. Oh, wait, no, no, no,
Oppenheimer.
No. We did one for Oppenheimer.
Oh, that's right.
Remember,
that's right.
That was when we were like, hey, we're going to do video.
It was the first time.
For one time.
And then we didn't go but do it for a while.
Yeah.
We went and we're back.
And we're back, but now Jonah is filming every episode, and most of the time we get them up.
About two-thirds of the time. This one's going to be a
We're killing it around here.
I apparently have an episode labeled wrong online, and Cole yells at me about it like every 12 hours. So,
listen, you got all the access.
I'm super
sorry.
When
you set that reminder on your phone for that task that's like semi-important, and you just keep snoozing it, and it just keeps reminding
you. Like I said, if I didn't do it, it'd fall through the cracks and we would never change it.
You're 100% correct, Cole. Never change. Never change. Someone was talking about being a secretary the other day, and I was like, I had a secretary once, and then I married my wife and he quit. So
yeah, I'm like, hey, not my responsibility anymore.
Yeah. So, hey, welcome back to the Movie Rubric. I'm Timothy McDaniel.
Cole Wright.
Jonah Jovi.
And Josh Glass.
He's back, baby.
Yeah.
Woohoo.
Josh, so we never wanted to talk to the viewers about this. I hope it's okay that I share this. You actually went to the Amazonian jungle.
I did.
And you were there on like a super secret mission. How'd that go?
Well, I almost died twice. Yeah. But
AIDS, right?
It was AIDS. AIDS. Both times. Both times.
No. Hey, we're glad to have AIDS. You back. Josh texted us and he was like, yeah, it's weird having to look at the camera now.
It is weird having a camera now.
Yeah. He texted us. He was like, hey, no, I've been out for a while. Life's been busy. Whenever you guys go do Joker 2, I would love to join you guys. And we were like, absolutely, join us. And Josh, spoiler warning, audience, I feel like it was a doozy of an episode to join us on.
It was a wild one, yeah. It was a trip.
So, yeah, this episode is on Joker Folie à Deux. I think that's how you say that. My French teacher, if you ever watch our podcast, please do not yell at me. And I'm just going to go ahead and say right now, I think I'm the weird one at the table and that I liked it more than you guys did. What were your general broad spoiler-free thoughts on this movie before we start really getting into the nitty-gritty? And I know Cole has some stuff he wants to talk about that's not even about the movie before we get going.
Oh, you want me to start? Okay.
You can, yeah.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'll talk about my thing on the movie. I'm going to be real. It's been a couple days. I still don't know how I feel about this movie. So hopefully this conversation about the movie will get me to where I know how I feel about it. So I'm still thinking about, like, did I like it? Did I hate it? I can't really tell.
Mm-hmm.
Far as, like, though, the internet, though, being completely toxic towards this movie, it wasn't as bad as what everyone's saying. Everyone that's saying this was a worse movie, worse portrayal of the Joker than Jared Leto and Suicide Squad, you're a bunch of idiots. I'm just going to be...
Oh, you're 100% correct.
Like, that's the most L take I've heard.
Yeah.
One of you sent a meme that was like, hey, Jared Leto is now the second worst Joker, and I was like... Him, yeah. That was...
Here's the thing.
That's crazy take.
Joaquin Phoenix, you know, 5 years ago when he did Joker 1, was praised beyond, like they were about to put him above Ledger, which I don't agree.
No, I don't either, but...
But I think when I think Joker, I think Heath Ledger.
Yeah.
That portrayal. But, like, he's up there, and now all of a sudden he's now the worst Joker in one movie. Yeah. That really wasn't even, like, as big of a dumpster fire as everyone's making it out to be.
Yeah. Well, I agree. I felt going into this whenever I saw a lot of people hating on it online. I'm getting a cartoon ad for the Harley Quinn show. I'm going to scroll down so that doesn't distract me. I felt like before we ever even stepped into the theater, I just felt like a lot of the hate was directed at the fact that it was a musical. I never heard anyone talk about the plot. I never heard anyone talk about the acting, the cinematography, like the overall direction of the movie. I just heard it's a musical, it's a musical, it's a musical. So I expected to like it more than most, but I like musicals, and I know that you guys don't like musicals as much as I do. That being said, I fully recognize that as a musical, this is a weird, not quite a full musical.
It's true.
So it is weird. So I can get where some people can have a valid criticism of that. But if your criticism is that it has musical numbers, I don't think that that's a super valid criticism unless you just despise musical numbers.
Because, yeah. I mean, it's tough when it's the sequel to arguably one of the best, like, I'm just going to say best DC movies, best superhero / villain movies probably ever.
Mm-hmm.
Joker 1 was dang near perfect,
mm-hmm.
which I don't know how everyone else feels about the first Joker.
I think it's like popular opinion.
Yeah. Near perfect of a movie as you can get for what it's doing. Yeah.
Yeah. That's tough to follow that up.
Yeah. I was pretty disappointed with this movie. I just peed right into the mic. Like, But
you're pretty good at that. That's okay though.
I do that all the time. But I like the first one a lot. I'm not at like there's people who love the first Joker movie. I really like it a lot. I think it's really good. I was pretty disappointed with this one. I do agree. I think people are a little hating it a little too much because there's a lot of stuff to like about it. Mm-hmm. I think visually it's really good. Joaquin Phoenix still is a really good actor. He does a really good job.
Yep.
I really didn't like the plot. And I actually, like, before the movie came out, I was pretty, like, I thought a Joker musical could have worked because he's, like, crazy. I'm like, they can do some really cool stuff
with
that.
He likes to be a showman.
Yeah, I thought that could be cool, but I think they kind of wasted that opportunity personally.
I think, honestly, I should have just had David Lee Roth be the Joker at this point. Ooh, he looks creepy enough.
That would have been pretty cool.
Yeah. I would say I left this movie feeling disappointed, but also very mid. Like, didn't have a real strong opinion one way or the other. I was disappointed because I was expecting it to live up to the hype that Joker 1, or whatever you want to call it, produced, and it wasn't there. And so left feeling disappointed, but also just mid because, like I said, I didn't have a strong feeling one way or the other.
Yeah. I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this here in a second. I'm going to ask us to do our thumbs up, thumbs down. I'm going to give it one thumb up, but maybe not for the reason that people would think. I was talking with some of my students who were complaining about the new Joker. They're like, what'd you think? And I was like, you know what? I didn't hate it. They're like, it was awful, blah, 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 blah. I can't believe they let someone decide to do that with such a successful franchise. And it made me unreasonably mad because I know for a fact that these kids will go see the next like Transformers 19 movie. Like whatever that is.
Oh, true.
So like,
is this the same kids who like Turbo?
No.
Who, not the who same claimed kids. It was a good movie?
No. No way. I don't want to be mean to the kid who said he liked Turbo, but that kid was different. No. These are the kids, though. Like the society in general will constantly complain, and I'm a big complainer of this as well. Hollywood, stop doing needless sequels. Stop remaking the same movie 9 times in a row. Do something fresh. Do something original. And then Hollywood does something that is kind of fresh and original. Now, mind you, it might be a little stinky. I'm not going to lie, but they tried.
Yeah.
And I respect that, and I hate that this movie's flopping as hard as it is. It's getting the hate it's getting because they tried to do something different. I think that it is not an amazing movie. I do think it's good, just not great, and I'm sad to see. Like, I looked up the box office numbers. It didn't cost a ton to make. It supposedly, according to a Variety article posted yesterday, it's made $114.8 million, and it cost $200 million to make. So it's not as big of a flop as we've seen with other movies this year, like Borderlands and stuff like that.
Oh, Borderlands.
That's still bad numbers, though, for
the
something.
The first one did $1 billion, so comparatively.
Yeah, that's still really bad numbers, and I hate to see that because Hollywood tried something new. I'm saying Hollywood in the very broadest sense. A film studio tried something new, and now it's failing them. This is how you get Hollywood to never try new things. This is how you say, no, we want Transformers 20. Give us Transformers 21. Yeah. Like, and so
Fast and the Furious 25.
100% in space.
Too family, too furious.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. So I would say if you have the cash to spare and you liked the first one, go see this movie. It's not one that you need to like plan a weekend about or anything like that. Like if you've got a free night and you've got a spare, go see it on like a Tuesday when it's $8. Go see this movie. Like if for nothing else to show Hollywood that we're interested in new stuff. But I don't think it was terrible. So now I'll pose that question to the rest of the table. I'm one thumbs up. Thumbs up, thumbs down. What do you guys think? Should people go see this movie? Should they wait for it to stream? What are your thoughts?
I personally think that it'd be worth seeing, I guess, if you really love Joaquin Phoenix's Joker. Because I feel like he still plays a really good crazy person. Still plays a really good psycho. It was neat to see it on the big screen with the music numbers. But if you're just at all mid on Joker, wait for it to stream.
Yeah, I would
it's valid.
I would agree with that. I mean, yeah, Joaquin Phoenix is definitely not the weak link. If anything, his back is probably out for trying to carry this movie.
Joaquin was great.
Yeah, he was not the problem.
And
there was other things.
Lady Gaga was terrible.
No, she did good. I thought she did good too. I thought everyone did good.
I liked her. Yeah,
and the plot that they had, they did a decent job.
Yeah,
it was some of the best acting I've seen in a movie in a really long time from everyone, with the exception of one character I'll get into later, who I thought was just you could have thrown them on the wayside and I wouldn't have cared. But everyone killed it performance wise. I thought it was really good. So
I'm actually going to go one thumbs down.
Ooh.
I think
that might be your first thumbs down. No.
Borderlands.
No. Borderlands, yeah.
Everyone, I mean, come on. That's
I mean, come on now. Yeah.
No, I don't even know if I asked for the thumbs on that.
We all
know. I mean, why
might have just assumed. Yeah.
Like I said, there's stuff to like in the movie. The performances are great. The visuals are great. But I think the plot is a huge mess. And I don't feel like, I feel like this is something that is like a wait for Max, like wait for streaming. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
In my opinion, personally.
Valid.
Yeah.
Is that everyone? Thank you. Everyone.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to talk about spoilers now. So while I think you should go see the movie in theaters, if you are planning on going to see it, tune out at this point, come back and listen to us after you've had a chance to watch the movie. I was thinking about Josh's comment the other day. I was like, Josh, you still listen to all the podcast episodes, right? And you're like, no, because I don't go see the movie. So I would
sorry.
Say, yeah, no, that's okay.
I did listen to your tier list podcast.
It was good. The most recent one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was good.
Oh, I would love to hear your thoughts on that at the end. Yeah. See where you thought we ranked some of the movies and what ones you've seen. So, all right, we are going to talk about spoilers now. Let's get into it. I was going to say earlier, I'll just jump off of my launch pad that I set up for myself. I thought performances were great. I thought one of the best performances in this movie was the, I don't know what the proper term is, the little person.
Oh,
yeah. In the courtroom scene. Hope that that's the correct term.
Yeah, Mr. Puddles.
Mr. Yes. Puddles.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. He's my favorite character probably.
I ain't going to lie. I forgot that he was in the first one.
Me too. No, I'm right there with
but
you.
But when he came in, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's the Penguin.
Oh man. Oh yeah.
That would have been doing really good. They're doing it. They're doing it.
And the Penguin's here.
No,
and
I thought he killed it. I won't say I teared up, but like it hit me like emotionally.
What's
like,
the name of that actor?
What's that?
What's the name of that actor?
It's a great actor. Let me look that up.
Really
I've got,
good.
I've got the IMDb pulled up.
Like, I don't remember. I'm sure he was fine in the first one because it's been a while since I've seen the first one, but
I don't think he was in it that much.
He was just a background character.
Leigh Gill.
Has he been anything else?
He was the like clown store owner in the first one.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, he turned up the acting on this one. It was
great. I would love to see that actor in more things. I know that it is sometimes hard for once again, I hope the term is little people. I'm super sorry if it's not to like get me in as many movies as other actors because just typically things are typecast. Hollywood likes their actors to all be the same size for literally the sake of like camera angles and stuff like that. I get that, but I hope I see him in more stuff. Like, he was a great actor.
Listen, if we didn't get canceled after it ends with us, I don't think we're gonna get canceled.
Yeah,
that was a weird episode.
We're fine.
That was odd.
So yeah, I thought the acting was great, and that's what I was gonna say. That kind of brings me into let's just go and jump into. Favorite scenes. I want to know your guys'. Did you guys have a favorite scene in this movie?
I did.
Okay.
I did too, yeah.
Okay. Okay, Cole, what was your favorite scene?
Honestly, the very beginning when it was the Looney Tunes cartoon.
The opening, Me and My Shadow?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was cool.
That was cool.
I was like, you know what? Can this be the movie? I like this.
I liked that setup. Does he have a split personality? Like before the movie even begins, we're making jokes about like, was he in control or was it someone else? So like before the movie began, we're like kind of priming the audience. My favorite part about Me and My Shadow, and I put this in my notes and I forgot my notepad in the other room. That transition from 4:3 to widescreen.
When splatters
using
on the
blood splatter.
Yeah, that was cool.
So cool. Yeah. I wish more movies would play with aspect ratio like that. That was neat.
Yeah, I like that too.
What was your favorite scene, Jonah?
It's like probably what we just talked about. I love the scene with Puddles in the courtroom because it like it mirrors the first one. Because I don't know if you remember the first one. He kills the big guy.
Yeah.
And he's with him. And then he's like the guy like can't open the door.
Mm-hmm.
And then he like Joker walks up to him. He's like, you're the only guy that was ever nice to me. And he opens the door and he leaves. And then this one, he's telling Joker, like, you're the only one that's ever nice to me. And you like terrified me. And then you see like his like voice break. Like Joker's like. No more questions. And then it's like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I thought that was acted really well and a really cool scene.
Yeah. I loved it. Yeah.
I actually enjoy. I don't know if it was the first music number, but it was one of the first ones whenever you couldn't tell if it was like, is he really singing in reality?
Mm-hmm. Is that when he's in the watching the TV?
When
the
he's
prison?
Watching the TV and it was like, you didn't really know until it got over that it was all in his head. And that's kind of where I hoped more of it would lay. Like the music stuff was going to lay was like, you couldn't tell if it was real or if it was in his head. And I felt like they did it that one time and it didn't really ever come back to that same feel, I didn't feel like.
I felt like they were all in his head, with the exception, I think the only one that wasn't in his head was when he was singing to Harley Quinn over the phone at the end. And yeah, maybe even that was in his head. Maybe that was him just confessing his love for her, and the movie chose to show it in song. I got the impression that they were all in his head.
I think for the most part, I mean,
I think with the exception of what you just said, the phone, because clearly there's a couple that were like the dance numbers, like they're like, clearly this is an imagination thing here.
Yeah, I guess what I was trying to say was not necessarily that they weren't in his head, but I wish they would have played with more of the is it reality, is it in his head type of thing, rather like, than going to like the full 60s variety show theme. Like, very much, this is obviously a hallucination in his head. Whereas that first one was like, you didn't know. It played with you a little bit. You weren't really sure what was reality, what wasn't.
That's valid.
I would agree.
I'll say my favorite scene before we start talk about the music. I think my favorite scene was either one, the scene where they're escaping after Harley sets the piano on fire. Just the shot composition and the cinematography mixed with the dancing and the rain and the spotlights coming by from the trucks and the singing. Like, I thought all that was just so well done. So well done.
Yeah.
My second favorite scene, and it may be tied for first, was it was hard. It's a toss up, was the courtroom dream sequence where he kind of snaps right before he snaps, I should say. And he's going up and he's beating the judge with his own gavel and the crowd's cheering for him. And Harley Quinn is running blood all over her face. I just love the way, once again, that one was shot too.
Yeah.
Yeah. About the music, I loved that first scene where he was singing, because I don't think Joaquin Phoenix is a terrible singer, but he wasn't amazing in this movie.
It was raw.
But I think it was intended to be that way. I think it's Joaquin Phoenix doing a character singing. Like, it wasn't just Joaquin singing. And I've seen a lot of, we're talking about unjust criticism. I've seen a lot of unjust criticism for like, maybe if you're going to do a musical, don't have Joaquin Phoenix be the lead. Because like talking about how bad of a singer he was, I thought the dude was great for what role he was doing. Like, it was raw. Like, it was rough in a good way.
Yeah.
That is fair. That's fair.
I liked it.
Plus, when you put him up next to Lady Gaga,
whose
career is to be a singer, it's not going to be as good.
One of the best modern vocalists.
Oh, 100%.
That's out there.
I wanted to get your guys' opinion on that. Did you guys enjoy Joaquin Phoenix's performance singing-wise in this?
I don't think it... I mean, I wasn't just fine with it. Like, I wasn't paying too much attention about it because I'm trying to wrap my head around more of this movie. I'm like, you know what? I think for what it was... fine. It wasn't like distracting bad, like distracting, like very, like so bad that like it takes away from anything. It really wasn't even horrible.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say the quality of the singing or even the music in general is what bothered me. I think it's more like how the music was used that bothered me. But I don't know. Like you said, he's not a singer, but I think for this movie, it's not really trying to be like a big Broadway musical. So I don't think that really bothered me that much.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. This was like, you know, with Wicked that's coming out. Yeah, they probably need, you're gonna need some singers for that one.
Yeah.
And you know what, though? And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we will, I think we should go see Wicked, even though I think it looks awful. I think we should go see Wicked.
You think it looks bad?
I think it looks terrible.
Really? I haven't really watched too many trailers for it.
Yeah, I haven't seen the musical
and
either.
And I've also never,
seen the musical. The musical is good. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the musical, maybe the movie will be really good. My problem with a lot of modern day movies is the heavy use of pitch correction and like just overproducing. It's not even like, and the people are good singers. That's the thing. I don't think the people are bad singers. And a friend and I had a really good discussion on this the other day, but I hear the trailer for Wicked and every note just sounds so like overproduced that what makes Wicked good is like when you go see it live is that raw singing. And like, there might be a flub, like, but it's just very emotional and powerful.
Isn't that just live music though?
Most of the time, there's definitely people who perform live to tracks and don't sing raw or live. That definitely happens. But I don't know. I'm worried that Wicked won't translate well to a movie format. That's besides the point, though. Well, I think November we should go see Wicked.
Yeah.
Go see Wicked. Okay. So we're talking about the music a little bit and our favorite scenes. Did you guys have a least favorite scene? Because that was hard for me with this movie.
I mean, really, there's just either good or mid, like as far as movies go. Like, there's no, like, bad scene.
Yeah.
Which that's a plus for the movie.
It is.
I would say this isn't really a specific scene, but this kind of goes into the music thing. I thought it got to a point whenever music came on, I was like, all right, like, come on now. Because I feel like the music scenes in this were so disconnected from what was happening for the most part. There's some scenes that were connected, like the courtroom scene. It's like, oh, this is how he feels, or when the one where Harley shoots him. But mm-hmm. a lot of times it felt like, all right, it's been 20 minutes. Lady Gaga got to sing. We got Lady yeah. Gaga on the on the, on the
we're
paycheck.
Using her as much as we can.
Have her sing Raindrops Falling on My Head for no reason. Let's go. Yeah. It's a good song, but you know.
It's really funny because I've heard some people say there's too much singing. And then I've heard some people say, I sometimes forgot it was a musical. They just start randomly singing after like an hour break. And I'm like, I felt like there was no point in this musical where I forgot it was a musical.
No, they sang like, there was like a timer, 15-minute timer.
You know, yeah. what, time you, know what, you know what it felt like? It felt like a Family Guy episode where they take 5 minutes to do something just off the wall, nothing pertaining
yes,
to the plot.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And then it comes like, back yeah. and shoehorns the plot back in.
Yeah, yeah. The music felt like padding for the plot. Like, it's like, we don't really have a plot to carry all this, so have Lady Gaga sing a song.
Yep. They like they got there like the day of like okay we're shooting and then mm-hmm. they got done they're like we don't have enough footage
this is an hour movie
get Lady
something.
Gaga back in here we need to record some songs
pick something from the 60s I don't know just go
just find so, something
here's where I didn't have as much of a problem with it I felt like oftentimes the music was not meant to necessarily continue the story so like in many musicals they will sing about what's happening I rarely felt like that was the intended purpose most of the time it was to show his internal monologue and this is how I interpreted it at least so there was three times in the movie I think where the music was simply shown just to show time passing like it wasn't meant to show what was happening in the story it was just meant to show like okay a week has gone by or a there was one point where he was in the
solitary
solitary for 2 weeks. Like it was just used to show what is he feeling and thinking during this time while time passes. And then there was many times that I felt like it was just to kind of show his descent into craziness. Cause I think Arthur Fleck in this version of the Joker, he disassociates. I think they had that pretty heavily with the first one. And especially with this one, he just disassociates a lot. So it's meant to kind of show his internal monologue, not necessarily to tell a story. So I think that's where I was okay with it because it's like, I kind of think this is what they're going for. Could be completely wrong. Maybe they were trying to tell a story through the music and I just missed the boat completely.
Maybe. It's possible.
So, Josh, I was going to say, I don't know if anyone said a least favorite scene. Did you have a least favorite scene?
Kind of like Cole said, I can't really think of one specific scene that I was just like, I don't like that.
Yeah. I had one that's a contender, and it wasn't a bad scene, but it was probably my least favorite, and it was the baton in the shower.
Interesting way to put that, yeah.
Yeah.
That was more of an uncomfy scene.
Yeah.
It was uncomfy. I felt like it was out of left field.
Especially for the main cop.
I felt like they were like, you know what? We need some shock value right about now. We need to remind the people that this is a dark movie because not much dark has happened. Let's have the cops beat and sexually assault this man in the shower. And it just kind of felt like it didn't fit. Yeah. And I don't know. I don't know what they were going for there, but that scene just felt out of place.
We got a shot of a guy's penis in the background.
We did. That one kind of no reason.
That one kind of like fit in with like, okay, these people are like deranged, mentally insane, and they're in prison, and like maybe he just didn't have pants on. Like that one didn't bother me, and it was
like,
in the background.
Like,
but
like, hello there.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, that would probably be my least favorite scene.
Yeah, and I didn't like that either because maybe I misinterpreted this, but I almost felt like the main guard. Mm-hmm. I don't know what his actor's name is. He's in a ton of stuff. He was the cook in Paddington 2. He's a really good actor.
Jackie Sullivan.
Sullivan. He's really good. I almost thought they had, like, he was a pretty, like he wasn't a good guy, but
you pretty neutral.
Neutral. It's like he
got along
like,
with them fine enough. It's
he kind of picked on Arthur, but he felt like he had some sympathy for him. Like, you know, he got him out of there. And then I felt like in that scene, it was kind of like, we need shock value. And then it's made him like a monster. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And like,
it was after he said something in court, wasn't it?
He's like, those.
He called them fat pigs.
Fat pigs. Oh, that's blah, 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 blah. But still, though, like.
It definitely wasn't appropriate reaction.
To have one. Very overreact.
If you're a cop out. And you're going to get that offended over someone making a.
Now it is Gotham.
Calling you a name. Oh, man, you hurt my feelings.
Still, though, cops who at this point in time had been shown to be considerate and nice and like moderately understanding of this mentally ill person, because despite the fact that put a pin in this. I would like to talk about this next, maybe, if no one has anything. Despite the fact that this guy is not the Joker, as we come to see at the end of the movie, like, he's still mentally ill. He's a very broken, mentally ill man.
Yeah,
and the cops have been relatively nice and understanding of that, so it just felt very out of character. We haven't seen the cops being abusive up to that point.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. 100%.
So it was just weird. If no one has any least favorite scenes, I do kind of want to talk about that. So there's a twist at the end that Joaquin Phoenix's Joker is not the Joker, and one of my students actually pointed this out to me. I didn't catch this. Who was the character you thought the guy was at the end?
At first, I thought it was
Zazz. Stabs him.
Yeah, I thought it was Victor Zsasz. He's in the Arkham games. He, like, kills someone, and then he'll make a cut on himself.
I didn't see him cut himself.
Well, I thought he cuts himself later, and I thought that's what he was doing, but then I found out later people were like, oh, no, he's actually carving a smile on his face. So yes, that's what I misinterpreted that.
So that was actually, I didn't see that, and a student of mine brought up, like, I didn't like that they set up the one inmate to be like Heath Ledger's Joker, and I was like, what? And then they kind of said what you said. They're like, he cuts his lips, and I think it's implied that he becomes Heath Ledger's Joker, and I was like, interesting. And then I Googled it, and it does seem that is what they were going for there. Did you guys catch that?
I did not.
I was with the Victor Zsasz theory.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is true or not. I read this on an unsourced photo on Facebook or something. But apparently, Todd Phillips, the guy that directed this, wanted Joaquin Phoenix to cut a smile into his face at the end of the first one. But Christopher Nolan was still, like, associated, I guess, with Warner Brothers and told him no. Like, no, don't do that. And then I guess Christopher Nolan's not with Warner Brothers anymore. So I guess then he just was able to do whatever he wanted.
Yeah.
Apparently, that's what I heard.
So it kind of establishes this movie in a weird way as being canon to the Dark Knight franchise.
Yeah.
To some degree. That, or you could just look at it as the guy who kills him becomes a real version of the Joker. So maybe
fight Kid Batman.
Yeah. Maybe we'll see him later in a Robert Pattinson movie.
Yeah.
Would be kind of cool. I love Robert Pattinson's Batman. So
I never watched it.
What? It was really good.
The Batman.
So I know a lot of people were hoping the Arthur Fleck Joker was going to show up, but like,
I don't think it would fit really.
I think it was good for its own.
I don't think it would.
It's not a. Yeah. He's not a good. I mean, he's a villain.
Mm-hmm.
He's not like Heath Ledger, Jack Nicholson, even Mark Hamill, Joker.
When is the last time you guys watched the first movie?
The first Joker movie?
Shoot, yeah,
it's been.
It was COVID. I remember it was COVID.
Yeah. So, like, I remember talking with some friends about this whenever they announced that they're making a second one. At the end of the first one, I never felt like Arthur Fleck was, like, this deranged, smart, maniacal supervillain like the Joker was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, wondering, how are they going to take this person who's... Arthur Fleck is not smart or intelligent in any way, shape, or form. Like, he has... You could tell in the courtroom scene whenever he's like, all right, that's it. I'm going to try to appeal to the masses, more appeal to my girlfriend.
Yeah.
And then he starts interviewing people. He's like, yeah, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, he just shows that he's kind of an idiot. He's like, yeah, I have nothing.
Losing his mind a little bit.
Yeah. I was wondering how this movie, they were going to show him evolve into that. I don't love that they killed him, but I also like that they didn't have him turn into a supervillain. They kind of said, he's not smart. He made some really dumb decisions as a result of child abuse and sexual assault and all this bad stuff. He didn't necessarily love at the end of the first one, and it kind of felt in this one he didn't love the attention he was getting from the crowd. He kind of felt forced to play into this character.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like that at the end he's like, I don't really like playing this character. I'm not a split personality person. Like, I made a mistake. I regret it. And I think many audiences were very upset at that fact.
I didn't like that very much.
You didn't either. So I did like that. So do you want to explain? Do you have a reason you didn't like it, or just cuz?
I just feel like, for me, it almost feels like it's just saying, like, never mind to the first movie a little bit. I feel like the first movie, it shows him going crazy, and then he becomes kind of like this bad guy. Like, you know, he becomes the Joker. And then I feel like this movie, at the end, it's just kind of like, he actually felt kind of bad about all that stuff. So he didn't really, you know, he kind of regrets doing that. He's actually, you know, it was almost like they were kind of trying to, like, redeem him a little bit in a way. Not, like, completely redeem him, but, you know, get you to sympathize with him a little more. But I didn't feel like they needed to do that. I didn't, like, hate it. I'm not like, oh, what the frick, Joker's a good guy. But, like, I wasn't a huge fan of that, personally.
That's valid. Cole or Josh, you guys have a thought on that?
I mean, it did kind of feel weird. Like, it could have went from him just being lunatic, haha, look at this guy over here. Mm-hmm. It's funny. Isn't, look how crazy he is. To he's just a guy. Like, he, kind of everything that made that character interesting just kind of
went, like they went, flipped a switch.
Went away. And there was no, like, lead up to it. Like, he just, all of a sudden, hey, I really don't want to be that guy anymore.
Yeah.
See, I guess when I went back and rewatched the first movie about 6 months ago or so, like as we were talking about this one, I never felt like he was this unhinged evil person in the first one. I felt like
he fell into that role.
He was sad. He was depressed, and I think it kind of felt like he maybe regretted doing what he did even at the end of the first movie, although they didn't show it as much. So I can get where you're saying it kind of looked like they were trying to redeem him. I kind of thought that they were continuing the story of this person who was forced into this kind of scapegoat position by society. Like, cause
that's fair. I think I can see that too.
Gotham is very clearly looking for someone to be their, like, the person who's going to lead them. I think you kind of see that with the prisoners too. Like, the prisoners were looking for any reason to rebel, and they're using him as kind of like their vessel for that. And maybe, you see that with,
maybe he doesn't want that.
And that's what I didn't get in the first movie that he really wanted that. And I felt in this one, he really strongly didn't want that. He was going to plead his case. He met Harley Quinn and kind of went back on that. But I felt like he never necessarily wanted to be this evil, maniacal person. Gotham wanted him to be this evil, maniacal person as a reason and an excuse to rebel and outlash.
I think, towards the end of the first movie, I think he was loving the attention from it. Mm-hmm. Then maybe,
but not because he was evil, though. Yeah, not, that's how I got it.
Not because, but then maybe, time passed between this movie and the second movie that maybe went away. Like, mm-hmm. I can see what you're coming from.
Well, at the beginning of this movie, he's not laughing or telling jokes. He doesn't start laughing again until he starts getting attention from the audience, mm-hmm. and he meets a girl. And now he has a reason to be this character.
You put him in prison where you've removed the audience then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when he was in what was essentially a hospital for the mentally ill, he was actually recovering to a degree, in a weird way. Like
he almost backtracked to his character at the beginning of the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, he was also medicated at the beginning of this movie, too.
Mm, so. That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
The laughing
kind of coincides with not taking medication and meeting Harley Quinn and getting some attention. That's, so it all kind of meddles together.
When they ask, when they tell him, hey, don't take your medication, mm-hmm. they want you as unhinged as possible for the courtroom. Because it's going to be broadcasted. He's going to have his followers there.
I don't know. I guess but once again, I don't want to ever say, oh, you just didn't get it. And I'm definitely not saying that to you guys because I think you're having an open mind.
Yeah.
It kind of like when I hear people talking about this movie, I don't want to say you didn't get it, but I just feel like a lot of people didn't pay attention to the first movie. Mm. They thought that this movie was going to be a movie where we see him flip a switch and now he is Heath Ledger's Joker. Or you know what I mean? Or he is like a
super
Joker.
Evil Joker.
Yeah, like this mastermind criminal underlord Joker.
I couldn't see him, this Joker, fighting Batman.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, I went into this movie not sure how they were going to do that, and I'm glad they didn't. And then at the end, he dies, which I think is a interesting twist. I don't love it. I don't hate it. But when we're talking about like how he's doing what he's doing for attention because Gotham wants a Joker, we then see someone kill him and take that, what assume is going to take that mantle. Like,
and get the one that we know with.
I think that kind of fits well with the story. Like,
that's what I was going to say too. I didn't catch the guy who stabbed him at the end becoming the Joker we know from Dark Knight or whatever. But now that we've mentioned that, the movie makes a little more sense because it's showing that Joaquin's Joker, Arthur Fleck, he isn't Joker. He kind of created this personality to appease to the masses, mm-hmm. and get the attention that he's always desired, but he just inspired the truly evil person to become, mm-hmm. a version of the Joker.
Yeah. The criminal mastermind.
And I like that. And I think that's where I said, like, I feel
think
like,
it's neat. They just didn't, they didn't serve it up to you on a silver platter, so it makes you really think. So people that are just going to see this because it's a Joker movie aren't going to catch it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't catch it until you guys were talking about it.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of people that the ending's their least favorite part. They hate that the most. And I don't really feel that way. Of all the things I like about this movie, I feel like that is like that's pretty.
I
think that was fun.
It's a fun idea. Yeah,
it was a twist because you didn't expect it. You thought like
it really caught me off guard.
It's like, hey, someone's here to see you. I thought like, oh, it's gonna be Harley Quinn. They're gonna talk. Nope, stabbed right in the stomach.
Yeah.
Yep.
I actually, the fact that she cut her hair and was singing Tim Him at the end, I'm not fully convinced that that was actually Harley Quinn. And I could be.
Well, if you scroll down, her name's not Harley Quinn.
Yeah, they call her Lee Quinn.
Lee Quinzel.
Quinzel.
I think it's supposed to be, for all intents and purposes,
supposed
Harley
to be
Quinn.
Like a.
I guess where
similar,
I'm going,
I guess, to Arthur Fleck's Joker. It may be.
Someone takes that up. Yeah.
And here's my theory. It's just a theory.
A game theory.
A game theory.
I think Harley Quinn blew her brains out when she put that gun to her head.
Oh, I forgot about that, yeah.
And is dead in an apartment building somewhere. And I think that he saw a blonde woman on the staircase and went up to try to talk to her and then heard what he wanted to kind of force things to hear in his head. That's why she was singing. He's like, because every other time the singing has either been like a dream sequence and he's been involved in there, he's like, no, stop singing. I want to talk. And then the person just kind of walks away. Maybe that was really her. My headcanon theory is that Lee Quinzel blew her brains out in that apartment, and he's just completely disassociating with everything that's happening. He probably has a concussion because of the explosion.
Yeah.
And that's why the hair and the makeup are so different. We never actually hear her speak. But that's just my theory. So I don't know who that would have been visiting him at the end. Maybe it was her. I was kind of thinking it might be like... Harvey Dent, or maybe his lawyer, or just some nobody. Maybe it's just an interviewer, like an actual nobody going to see him, but we'll never know.
Or the murderer paid off the guard.
That is true, too.
They call him out there.
They call him out there for no reason, because the guard just walked off.
Did just kind of leave him, yeah. And like it seemed like there was no security in the hallway.
I'll pay if you turn a blind eye to this. I'll remove your problem here.
Yeah, that's very valid.
I don't know if you guys remember... But earlier in the movie, like in the middle, when he's on TV ranting, the guy that kills him is, it shows him, there's a shot of him watching in the back. I forgot about that for a while.
Getting excited.
Yeah, he's smiling in the back, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He starts to kind of laugh a little bit, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, once again, overall, like I said, it's got a lot of problems. So, let's talk about the problems. We've actually... weirdly enough, talked about good things about the movie. Let's talk about the problems. I will be the first to admit that while I'm glad, I said this in the theater, if you're going to do a musical, don't have to do a musical. Don't have like a number here and there. Like, do a musical. I respect that they did that. I will be the first one to admit that sometimes the musical numbers brought the pace of the movie to just like a...
time for music. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so I'll be the first to admit that.
I feel like they just had like a timer, like, oh, well, time for another musical. Mm-hmm. Don't care where we're at in the story. Just here you go.
Yeah. I mean, that's how musicals are. Don't get me wrong. But like,
sometimes they flowed.
Usually they flow with the movie, though, like a musical number does.
Other times it's just like, need to have a musical number just because it's time for a musical number.
Because Lady Gaga needs her money.
Exactly.
Yeah. Nope. Totally get that. I'll be the first one to admit that. And I think that some of them were a little long. It's like, okay, I guess you were having a song there. Did the song need to be that long? Like,
yeah. Didn't have to keep doing that.
At one point I went to the bathroom and I came back. Like, it was a serious scene. Like, okay, it's like, kind of like slow paced right now. I'm going to go to the bathroom. I come back. It's like a full musical number. I whispered to Jonah, like, what did I miss? I was gone for 2 minutes.
Just, like, barely in time.
What did I miss?
Yeah. He's like, there's one where he's tap dancing, I think.
Yeah. I'm like, what am I looking at?
That was actually one of my favorite ones, too. So there's my two favorite musical numbers, and aside from the escape one, were the one where Harley pulls the gun on him. Mm-hmm. It's like the Joker Harley Quinn talk show, because once again, that's him. It's internal monologue. He loves this girl, but now he's starting to feel conflicted, and he doesn't know if he can trust her or not. And then the other one was where they're singing, "We're going to build that mountain," just because it's just so over the top and fun, and he's excited, and he really thinks he's just going to be able to walk out of there and do whatever he wants.
Listen,
to.
You're not getting out of there, dude.
Yeah, that one.
You are getting the chair, best case scenario.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ooh, speaking of, okay, another complaint. Harvey Dent. I said there's a character you can just kind of throw by the wayside.
Yeah.
This is the most boring version of Harvey Dent I've ever seen in my life.
They could have called him Jeff Foxworthy. I don't know.
Whoa.
Now that'd be a different but a good movie.
You could have gone like John Doe or whatever, and John Smith, and he would have been same thing.
Yeah, I didn't feel like he had to be Harvey Dent. It felt like, hey, you know, the attorney is going to be attorney in the movie. Why don't we make him
like? Let's shoehorn all the Batman things in here.
Yeah, and I don't like because his face didn't look burned at the end. So if they are going to make this the Dark Knight trilogy, like I guess he could still be okay. But it does feel weird. Like if you're wanting this to be kind of in universe, then maybe don't have Harvey Dent in it.
Yeah.
It was weird. I didn't like Harvey Dent. I thought it was the most boring character.
Yeah.
We didn't do characters.
Oh, yeah. Whoops.
Favorite character. You can't say the Joker. No, I mean, like, was everyone's favorite character the Joker? I feel like in this movie with Joaquin Phoenix, it's hard for your favorite character to not be the Joker.
Yeah, so much about him.
I mean,
I didn't hate Harley.
She was good. I liked Harley. Puddles was good.
Puddles was my favorite actor, hands down. Yeah.
I thought acting-wise... He killed the guard did good. He was my favorite character. I liked his character until he got to the bathroom.
It's the Joker.
Yeah,
it's the Joker for me.
Yeah.
I'm the Joker. It's a cop out, I know, but like,
yeah, I'm the same way. I feel like he did the best, or his character was my favorite,
the most entertaining.
Everyone else was either fine. Or just like forgettable.
Forgettable, yeah.
Did we? So I said my least favorite character is Harvey Dent. Anyone have a different least favorite character?
I didn't like his little his lawyer or not his lawyer.
Yeah,
the lady that was like
his representative.
Yeah,
I didn't really care for her.
She was like, I don't even know what her motive was on.
You know what? I think that's the thing. I don't think she had a motive. I think she was just genuinely someone who thought he was mentally ill and wanted to help him. And it's sad to say, but that makes for a boring movie. It makes for a boring character.
It's like what we said with it's with us. Like, what do we have if like we don't have all the abuse?
Yeah, like I think she was genuinely trying to help him and just be a good person. And I think that made her a very forgettable, boring character.
Yeah, I mean, she was trying to get him like in a not the death penalty. She's trying to make him like, hey, if you're insane, you're just gonna go live in it for the rest of your days in a asylum. Yeah. But really, so. Tangent here, or sidetracking. Have you guys ever seen, it's a long YouTube video of what does crazy look like?
Uh-uh. I've seen it like on like related videos.
It's really cool. Yeah, it's about like this kid who acts like he's insane, but he's not actually insane. They expose him really quick on that. But they explain like a lot of people will act like they're insane that have like committed mass murder or something like that to think they're going to be better off being placed in a
mental institution,
just so they don't get the death penalty. But really, it's like, it's not much better. You're not getting out, like, ever. You are in there for the rest of your life. Essentially, you're just not getting fried.
That is one of the few scary movie horror elements that always gets me, and it's usually not even used in scary movies or horror very much. They actually need to capitalize on it more. But the idea of a sane person being in a mental asylum where you're medicated every day and can't talk to defend yourself and no one would believe you even if you did manage to not take your medicine enough to have a conversation, just being locked in there day in, day out actually is like unsettling to me. And I feel like
you're never getting out. Not like prison where like you could have a prison sentence like, hey, you have good behavior. You'll be out in 20 years. You still have a little bit of a life after this one. Your life's over. You're done.
Yeah.
Yikes.
I wish more movies would explore that.
Watch that video if you ever get a chance. It's a lengthy boy, but it's interesting.
Yeah, it sounds interesting.
So, least favorite character, Harvey Dent, woman?
I don't really have one. I think, even though I didn't feel super strongly about him, I didn't have one that I like hated.
Okay. Josh?
I would agree with the lawyer lady.
Marianne Stewart.
Yeah. Is that her name?
No, that was the actress.
I couldn't have told you what her name was.
Catherine Keener.
Yeah, sure. Why the heck?
Right?
Not?
Isn't that her?
Keener.
Small print is the character.
Keener. Marianne Stewart's the. You're right. I had it backwards. Catherine Keener is her real name. Thank you, Josh. Yep. Thank you. All right. I don't know who this person was. Oh, that was the lady who on the stand, Zazie Beetz. That's an awesome name. Zazie Beetz. She's really good. So cool. I love that name. Cool.
She was in Deadpool 2.
Was she?
She was Domino.
Oh, that's where I've seen her from. Yeah. Yeah. No, she's fine. All right. Well, before we go to the rubric here, was there any other last elements about the movie you guys want to talk about? Good, bad,
in between? So, this Joker, what they did with this movie, they actually, it feels like they copied.
Doing all right there. I'm fine.
Oh, hey, we're back with Josh falling asleep.
it happened the other day in the movie, too. This is the first movie I've seen in theaters since probably the last movie we reviewed.
Which was? Ooh. Do you remember what it was?
I don't remember.
That would have been
Cold
Nose. Cold Nose.
Shoot. I mean, you weren't around for the Twisters, so it would have been before that. So it would have probably been the Marvels?
Haunted Mansion, The Creator, FNAF, the Marvels?
Probably the Marvels. Because then we had the anniversary, then we had the March Madness.
Yep.
Mm. Okay.
So anyway. So,
that would be the last movie I watched in a theater.
It's been almost a year.
You know what? We did start this one kind of late. It is past your bedtime, probably.
It is. Yeah.
It was later, yeah.
Then we started out at bedtime. But
yeah.
So with this
I'm an old man
story,
now.
It's actually, and I don't know if they intended to do this, but it's what I just picked up on. They had elements from three serial killers in this. You have John Wayne Gacy, who's a clown.
Okay.
You have Ted Bundy, who famously defended himself in court.
Okay.
And then you have, he gets killed in prison, Jeffrey Dahmer. So you have the unholy trinity of serial killers.
That's kind of cool, though.
Yeah. I didn't think about that.
Wonder if that was intentional or if that was just sheer coincidence.
I mean, I think it was coincidence because if they were going to do the Dahmer death, then he got bludgeoned and not stabbed. Okay. But
I mean, yeah,
Ted Bundy also was actually smart and knew law stuff, and this guy was just...
Not.
Yeah.
You know what? If this happened like in modern times, this would be a meme fest. This dude would 100% be beloved by the masses.
Honestly, he was. That's the point.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I love about, that's one of the things I actually really like about the movie is like, in real life, there are people out there who are hurting and looking for a reason and to rebel. They just want someone to be the scapegoat. They want someone to be like, well, I did it because that guy said, I feel those people are real.
Yeah.
I mean, look at like the storming of the Capitol.
Yeah.
Like a few years ago, like 100%. Like, you know, it's a mob mentality is a real thing.
Yep.
So like, I just, I really liked that. I loved the scene where he was defending himself because I was a little worried. I was like, is he going to come out of here and like pull out some crazy wild Trump card that's just going to be like, and I've gotcha. But instead he did a voice that he thought was funny.
Yeah.
No one laughed, which is very in character for Arthur Fleck.
Yes, yeah.
He constantly lost the voice because he realized that what he was doing was just making a fool of himself. And then once again, he just proved that he's an idiot. And then they were like, do you want to mount your defense? He's like, no.
Yeah.
I will say it cracked me up when it let's go into like the next day of the courtroom after he's fired his lawyer and everything. And then it cuts over to him and he has the makeup on and everything. I'm like, I don't know why I chuckled.
Yeah.
<at that. laughs>
I chuckled a little bit at the scene where him and Lee Quinzel hook up in the, isolation room.
Yeah. That was awkward. That was funnily
like,
awkward.
Oh, you've brought makeup. And then she like makes up his face. And then there he is in the moonlight, looking like the most disgusting person I've ever seen. And then she takes off her pants. I was like,
oh boy, yeah.
Man has riz.
I looked at Josh because he got like three pumps in and then goes, oh.
Yeah, he didn't make it that long.
I was like, oh, poor buddy.
Poor buddy.
It's been a while.
In solitary.
Been a bit. Yeah.
Been a while.
That is one of my complaints. I know this movie was full of wacky stuff.
No.
The movie was full of wacky stuff.
The Joker would last longer, dang it.
More.
But like, how did she get in his solitary confinement chambers?
That's also
maybe it didn't happen.
So they showed us that she's
jacking it. I don't know.
She says she's pregnant though.
Maybe he's imagining.
I know that
too.
Arthur's crazy. Like, so unless she like assumed like, man, hopefully Arthur imagined me having sex.
Does anyone in this movie ever interact with Lee Quinzel other than the Joker? Whoa! I don't.
Yes, yeah, because the lawyer's like, your little girlfriend's gonna ruin this for us.
Oh, darn it!
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Almost had it.
Darn it!
You're right. I was like, whoa! You're totally right, though. That just like, I was like, what if she's not real?
What the heck?
What if she's the Joker?
But no, I was just like, come on, like, how does this happen?
Yeah,
it doesn't make sense. I mean, the only thing I could think of is
plot armor.
They
really
show that she's like a rich girl.
She's a
rich girl.
Probably paid her way in would be my guess.
I think she literally says, how'd you get in here? I think she literally says something like, oh, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
She's like, that guy got paid the guard to let me in or something stupid like that. So,
yeah.
You know what? I loved the twist that she isn't an insane patient. She's actually a psychiatrist
that's the Harley Quinn canon.
That's the original canon. I thought they were going to do something different. I liked the reveal that she actually is a psychiatrist. She's not crazy. She's just kind of after some like psychotic wiener, you know what I mean? Like, I wish that we had gotten that information in a more fun, twisty way. Instead, we just got like
info dump.
Yeah, it's just like exposition dump through the bars. Yeah,
it used like the canon, at least from like the animated series, was she was the therapist for the Joker in the asylum, and she got the Stockholm syndrome, where it's like I'm falling in love with the
my patient, yeah,
my patient kind of thing, and then she goes crazy.
Where was Harley Quinn's first appearance? Wasn't it the Arkham games, or was
no?
Was
no she, it should have been animated series.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it was the cartoon.
I was gonna say she's a fairly recent 1992. Yeah,
that'd have been Batman the animated series.
She's a fairly recent addition that I think has kind of cemented herself as always being there, but she really hasn't.
Because she wasn't there for Dark Knight. She was. She existed in Suicide Squad.
She would have been if she was created in 1992.
Well, she wasn't like a character in the Dark Knight. Is what I'm saying.
Yo, yeah, no. She's I think been brought back and more prevalent with the Arkham games.
Yeah, everyone knows either the animated series or the Arkham games where they know her from. And unfortunately, Suicide Squad as well.
Yeah, she's kind of one of the biggest DC characters now. She has her own animated show. She's in a bunch of movies.
Half of the Halloween costumes this year are going to be Harley Quinn.
All Halloween costumes, always, all time.
I went to prom with a girl dressed as the Joker and Harley Quinn.
Oh, dang, really?
Have you not seen those pictures?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I was friends with a girl who wanted to go as Harley Quinn, and she was like, you should get like a purple tuxedo. And she went like, she didn't do like full makeup, but she did like a very Harley Quinn inspired like dress, and then her bouquet was a giant hammer with flowers on it.
It's pretty cool.
It was actually kind of fire. That part, yeah. Well, I shared that with someone the other day. They're like, "Oh, I bet that's cringy, but you regret that." And I was like, "Actually, no. It was pretty dope."
I remember
did
it was the pretty voice cool.
Go, I went up to every kid at the dance.
Oh, I got these scars.
You want to know how I got these scars? As I'm wearing tonight, drinking punch. People,
you know what? If this movie had came out, or the first movie had came out by the time we like when we were in high school, you could have done the whole like dancing down the stairs thing. Yeah,
would have been good. Ooh, all right. Well, on that note, Josh being upset that the Joker didn't last longer, and me going to high school dressed as the Joker. Does anyone have anything they want to add before we plug this into the rubric?
We kind of touched on this, but my other like kind of complaint, I feel like the plot had like very little momentum. Because I feel like when you take, I feel like the music kind of distracts from that. But if you ignore the music, like the musical parts, I feel like not a lot happens. I feel like
that's what
half,
I was going to say too.
It's insanely valid.
Like, it's like we go somewhere but nowhere at the same time.
Yeah, it's like the first half is just he's hanging out in Arkham and him and Harley are falling in love for the first hour, and then it's like then in the second half
Judge Judy.
Yeah, it's Judge Judy, but most of the Judge Judy stuff, even if it was good, like good, well written, was just like this is what happened in the first movie.
Can we talk about how the judge was like, "I'll have no shenanigans in my courtroom," and then shenanigans happen.
He literally shows up in clown makeup.
Stop it! Yeah, but I'm gonna let everybody in here and let this be broadcasted on TV.
I'm gonna let someone walk in 30 minutes late to my courtroom and have a seat. There was a convenient seat open for her.
Yeah, right here. Everyone's trying to get into.
Yeah, like listen, what if I went the other route with this? He didn't allow any shenanigans, and no shenanigans ensued at all during this movie.
It'd be completely normal.
Honestly, I would applaud them for it. Like just bait and switch.
What if the judge was the Joker?
Everyone is the Joker.
Everyone's
in this movie.
The Joker. Everyone can wear the mask.
That's the point of the movie. No, Jonah, you're totally right.
Continuity anymore?
Nope.
Oh,
it comes
he hasn't
plot.
Listened in a hot. It's actually a fairly
that,
recent.
That
change.
Falls in the plot.
Yeah.
Give you a hard time.
Okay.
So yeah. Anything else, and then we can talk about that.
Not really. That's something like one of my big complaints that I don't think we would touch on.
So Josh, we realized that to review the plot and then review continuity errors within the plot was redundant.
I get that. Yeah.
So we removed continuity
and split up directions.
Yeah, and then we figured direction was a hard one because oftentimes nowadays your cinematographer's doing their own thing, your audio engineer's doing their own thing, and the director just kind of ties it all together. But we found ourselves always just kind of like being drawn to these things, so we made them their own categories. So now we have a plot, the story, including continuity errors and things you liked and disliked, characters, which is I think pretty self-explanatory. You can call that the acting if you'd like to do that, the acting. I think I tend to put acting quality into characters. Video with cinematography, how it looks, how it was shot, things like that. Audio is self-explanatory. That could be the soundtrack. That can be use of audio. Jonah is really good about pointing out, like, he pointed out, like, squelching noises and Beetlejuice that I didn't hear. So
they're funny.
And then enjoyment is self-explanatory.
Yeah.
So
cool.
Yeah. You guys ready to plug this bad boy in?
Let's do it.
Hey, I'll start us off. I'll start with plot. if this movie didn't have a lot of the things, like a lot of the nuances that we're talking about going for it, the plot would be like a 2. If the pacing and the story actually had something do something, I would give the plot like a 4 or 5 for all the nuances. But it, for what it's worth, it kind of balances itself out. It was extremely mid. I jumped back and forth all evening between a 2 or a 3. I'm going to be nice because I liked what they were trying to do, even though I don't think they stuck the landing and it just became an average movie. So I'm going to give plot a 3. Cole?
I'm also going to go 3. Just very average. I mean, I was indifferent on the plot. Like, just, that was fine. Musical songs every now and then. The plot's just kind of just chugging along, doing a nice little trot. But yeah, nothing too crazy. I'm just gonna give middle of the road.
Okay, Josh.
Sound like a broken record here, but I'm also a 3 on plot.
I'm glad we're in agreement. I was a little worried that you guys were like 1 and 2, and I was gonna have to be but no, it just
it was just really okay. It had a few continuity errors, but you kind of have to squint and say, well, it's a
Joker movie.
What's reality? What's not? Mm-hmm. But overall, just the fact that it didn't do much, it's a 3.
This is what it is. Yep. Yeah, Jonah.
I'm gonna give it a 2.
Oh, there it was. But Jonah, it just turns a 3.
He
had more pumps than
The conduit was off.
I gave the plot 1 point per pump.
Yeah, that's exactly how I did it.
But no, like I said a second ago, the plot doesn't feel like it really goes very many places.
Mm-hmm.
The pacing was really bad. I thought, you know, it was really dragging. The music, the a lot of the singing moments break up that plot even more. That already doesn't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And like kind of like when we talked about the plot line of he didn't actually, he feels really bad about this. Like the semi, I didn't really care for that. I'm not going to give it a 1 because I think some of the ideas they had here were good and certainly not Borderlands level. So I'm going to say 2.
Nothing can be Borderlands
nothing
level.
Is that
the benchmark for the worst movie ever?
Bad, yeah.
You want to have a movie night next week and watch Borderlands?
I've heard
Josh?
It's terrible. So
you should come over.
No, here. Okay. You know, side thing here. There's people online who saying this
is worse than Borderlands.
The Joker movie is the worst movie of 2024.
I've seen that.
They probably watched it.
Like, you've not seen Borderlands. There's no way.
Worse than that, the only movie I think I've seen recently worse than Borderlands is Madam Web. And I had kids try to tell me that they thought Madam Web was better than this. And
I heard it was not great.
You guys have actual brain rot.
I haven't seen Madam Web, but I heard it was really bad.
I think that we're going to talk about it as we go through this. Just like you have to at some point try to be a little objective and recognize that while you may not have loved what they tried to do with the story, it wasn't a terrible movie.
Yeah.
Like, there were many good elements.
Yeah. Just like ants.
Kind of.
So.
In a way.
Cole, why don't you start us off with characters?
Honestly, I'm going to do 4.
Okay.
I mean, outside of Dent and Representative Lady, I mean, everyone else was fine, and then Lady Gaga did great as Harley Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
The Harley Quinn character was good. The Joker, great.
He joked.
He did the thing. But everyone else, everyone turned in a solid performance. I wouldn't feel right giving it a 3.
Yeah, Josh,
I am also a 4, mainly for the same reasons. I didn't hate any of the characters. I thought everybody acted their characters out really well.
Mm-hmm.
Characters was a strong point in this movie.
Jonah.
Actually, I was going to go 3, but I am going to go 4. Because I've been swayed. I feel like the performances really carry it.
Mm-hmm.
And even though there's not a lot of characters I loved, the performances are really good, and they were at least interesting, I guess. I'll just be nice to give it. I'm going to give it a 4.
The acting was worth a 5, with the addition of Harvey Dent just being a wet towel, needless character, and the lady, his attorney lady. I hate to take off a point because of them, but I am going to, though. I almost want to take them off for plot, because I think that the acting we got from everybody was so good. Mm. I'm gonna say 4. I'm going to lose sleep on that 4 tonight. That's a sleepless 4 because I do think that if you consider them needless characters because of plot, they still acted fine. But I think that overall, like, yeah, they were the fat on the movie that could have been trimmed off. So I'm going to give a sleepless 4 to characters. Josh, why don't you start us off with video?
I am going to go 5.
Okay.
I thought it was shot really well. I liked the use of the bright colors and some of the 60s vibe song session, or, you know, I can't think. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But
musical numbers.
Musical numbers. Yeah. Thank you. But yeah, overall, I thought it better. Was a, I thought it was a really well shot movie and it looked really good.
Yeah.
It was visually appealing.
That it was. I forgot who it was. I looked it up when we got home because I was thoroughly impressed with a lot of the shot composition. Joker to cinematographer. That's not how you say that. Here we go. Cinematographer. Lawrence Sher. I like looked this guy up afterwards because I absolutely loved how so many things were shot. And he
did the first one too.
He did the first really one. Good. But outside of that, he doesn't have that many.
The Hangover?
Yeah.
Really?
That's the same director. Todd Phillips directed this in the
he
Hangover.
He doesn't have wild. A lot of really crazy, good crazy like range. Yeah, it's weird. He doesn't have a lot of like, wow, that was incredible. Like Godzilla King of the Monsters was okay, but like I expected to see more like Dune. He would have worked on Star Wars. He like would have worked with like Villeneuve or something like that. Yeah. And I was shocked to see that he hasn't done too much like notable stuff, but I really loved the stuff on here. Jonah, sorry.
I'm also going to give it a 5. I think, honestly, probably think the visuals are the strongest part mm-hmm. of the movie. Because, like, I don't know, there's so many shots that are so cool. There's one I remember where he's, like, I think he's in his cell or he's somewhere. And it's super dark. And there's, like, blinds behind him in the city. And he has a cigarette. But he's, like, a shadow. But you can see the cigarette being light. Or, like, when he goes into solitary and it's, like, super dark. And there's, like, the light on his face. And then just goes, like, and it's, like, pitch black. Yep.
Yeah.
Really creative good. Stuff. So,
dude, the unrelated... This movie made me want to smoke. Anyone else?
It made you look cool.
I've never smoked a cigarette, but like watching all these people just in there's a... I was just like, oh man, like I'm craving a cigarette.
You know, cheeseburger or something.
Like, it's like I've never smoked a day in my life.
And when Joker will like do the back arch and just like slowly let the smoke out of his mouth.
Yeah,
there like, was that's just, a cool shot.
I was like, dang, I was like, this is... movie made by Camel. Like, what's going on here? Would have been really funny if it was like Wayne's World cigarette plugs the whole movie. It was like, hey, guard, can I have a cig? He's like, sure. And the camera zoomed in like really close on the guard's pockets, like pulls out like
have a Joe Camel red. Cigarette brand available for $5.
Hands it to the guy and it zooms out again really quick. And then every time there's a cigarette box, it just cuts in really close to the cigarette box. I'm also giving video a 5. I thought, yeah. The scene where they're escaping, I talked about it. My favorite part about that scene was how it looked. All of the musical numbers looked really good. And I feel like as a cinematographer, you're being tasked with like, okay, we have to shoot a really dark, gritty, R-rated, like psychological movie. You also have to be able to shoot like 5 musical numbers that are brightly lit with like, he did a really good job. They all looked great. So I'm 5. Cole?
I'm also going to 5. I'm sticking with the theme there.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, like, I mean, I don't want to say anything that you guys have already said, like, but, you know, big range of scenes here that need to be shot. I felt like when they're in the prison, I felt cold looking at that because it's like, it looks like, that's going to be fresh freezing.
Dark and dirty. Wet.
Dark and dank and
smelly.
Smelly.
Yeah.
Penis stink. All over the place.
Oh, I wasn't.
Balls.
Wow. This is the second time that you've said the word
Cole,
penis
you really hung up on that on man's penis.
We're going to get the E for explicit.
That's where my eyes went. I'm like watching, like, what the heck?
I almost
glanced at it and was like, oh, that's there. Odd, but okay.
I didn't even see it. When was it?
When they're
one of the
leaving the their cells.
Yeah.
There's a schlong
in my accidentally, Joker movie. Yeah. I accidentally locked eyes with it for just long enough to do that thing that all men do where you accidentally subconsciously compare it to yours, and then I moved on.
Yep.
It was like I looked at it, and I was like, okay. And then I went,
like, must be cold in there.
I put it on my spreadsheet of like where I rank.
Random guy from the Joker.
Yeah. Right there.
Joker wiener man.
Going back to the video, one of the real... I mentioned this scene earlier was like the first... musical number where they're in the TV viewing room. That shot was really cool because it was like it's like single shot or maybe a couple of
it looked like it was one take
seamless cuts and like he got a bunch of the faces of the other inmates. You caught the guy who ends up killing him at the end, mm-hmm. kind of being there. The guard, like he just captured everybody that was in the room and kind of their expressions of like mm-hmm. what's going on inside Joaquin's, you know, Arthur Fleck's head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a really neat shot.
Can we talk about how there was a guard who the whole movie, this guard's gimmick was just to have a towel on his shoulder?
Yep.
What was the point of that?
Like, I didn't catch that. Yeah, the whole angry. Time.
Oh. Every time you saw this guard, he had a very pristine hand towel draped across like his shoulder and chest that I don't think ever we saw him use once. And I was like, did that actor just like, they told him to use it in one scene and then every time he was getting ready, he's like, oh, I'm supposed to have the towel, I think. The director never told me not to have the towel, so I just grabbed it, put it on.
Continuity, I'm just going to keep it on.
Yeah. People will knock us off on the movie rubric if I'd have my towel in one scene and not the other.
You know, I hope that at some point we get to a thing where it's like, guys, the movie rubric's going to review our movie. We got to make sure we bring it. We got to
bring our A game. Make sure characters are good. Make sure plot's good.
Make sure they're living in fear.
Grab your towels. Get in those pumps.
Has to be more than three.
Minimum of six. All right, Jonah, I'm glad I timed out for you. Jonah, audio.
I'm going to give audio a 3. Hear me out.
Hold up. I need a minute to process that. I wasn't expecting that.
Hear my points.
I almost typed a 5 on instinct.
Audio was overall good.
Yeah.
Like they use like surround sound. Well, like I feel like I can't remember the scene. There's something where something smashes behind.
It crashed over my left shoulder, and I was like, oh my god.
Yeah, that was all cool. If I'm counting the music in here, like I said, the quality of the music wasn't very bad. But I feel like a lot of the songs had a very similar vibe to them. Of course, they're going for the 60s vibe. And I just felt like with how many of them are in here, they all kind of blended together at some point for me personally. And it kind of like, I feel like the feeling I got when it's like, oh man, here we go. Another song that's undetached from the plot. I feel like that's kind of, I associate that a little bit with audio. I think, in my opinion, maybe 3 is a little harsh.
You do what you got to do.
But I'm going to say 3.
I might be on the opposite end of that, and maybe I'm coping, but I'm actually going to give audio a 5. We started off the movie with a guard whistling, and throughout the whole movie, there was always music, like with very little exceptions. Even if we're just having a scene in the courtyard, there's someone blasting, like playing the trumpet and playing some like New Orleans jazz.
It's always when the Saints go marching in.
The car rides to and from, there was a soundtrack, like just like a pumped in soundtrack, and the soundtrack was fire. Like the soundtrack was really good. I think the reason I'm going to give it a 5, in addition to the good use of like surround sound and the musical numbers being well recorded, all things considered, I'm really big on like when you have a movie like this where there's lots of mumbling, like half the time things get lost. I never once couldn't understand someone.
And that's also true.
That is very difficult to do in a movie with so much going on, I feel like, including musical numbers. Having lots of mumble acting and growling and like, I could always understand everybody, which is very, very difficult to accomplish. And that's just like on top of the fact that like I loved Joaquin Phoenix's raw vocals. Lady Gaga's vocals weren't overdone, didn't sound overproduced. Like she's great, but I don't think they did anything to help fix it. Like I think she was just kind of let her voice carry on its own. I'm gonna give audio a 5. Cole.
I'm gonna do 4.
Split.
Yep. I thought the song selection was really good. I thought there were a bunch of bangers in there. It's just the use of like how they got them in there is what I'm going to base that off of. Like, I feel like the use of the songs, like when they would come in, would be just kind of sporadic. I get it. It's a musical, and that's kind of the MO for a musical.
Yeah.
But it just felt like it didn't flow, like how we talked earlier. Like, some stuff flowed really well. Some stuff it felt just very, like, now it's time for a song because there has to be a song here.
Don't change your number on this, but I was going to say, I guess I agree with you. I put that with, like, the plot. Like, the music flowing, I put with plot because it's stopping the thing.
I put the plot as, like, just the overall story.
Gotcha. You could go either way, maybe.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't change your number, but, yeah, I get what you're saying.
Josh? I don't like going after Cole this time because it feels like I'm literally copying his rubric, but I'm also a 4.
I'm going to say your rubric's very similar.
It's exactly the same so far. But my reasoning for giving it a 4 is I didn't feel like it did much. It was like a lot of music, and the music sounded good, but music's not incredibly difficult. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And the few times that there was like loud noises, I felt like they were really loud, like the explosion and the gunshot. Maybe it was for shock factor to make you jump, but it was almost like ear-piercingly loud compared to the rest of the movie.
You're right. We didn't even talk about the explosion. That caught me off guard.
I didn't expect that.
I thought the Kool-Aid Man was coming through the wall.
Yeah. Was the Kool-Aid Man. I was like, ooh,
yeah. I loved the explosion and how off guard it caught me. I also loved that I don't think it was Harley Quinn that set it off.
Just some random thing, some follower. Guy, yeah.
I think it was just someone. Once again, we were looking. These people are anarchists and they're looking for something to do. Someone just set off a car bomb.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, I don't care if I kill Arthur Fleck and every person in the room. I'm just going to set off a car bomb just to cause chaos. And
it did.
Yeah.
Chaos ensued.
And it caught me off guard to a significant degree. I was not expecting the explosion. I thought that was really well done. So, all right. Sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good. I mean, just, it was neat, but it was almost too loud compared to the rest of the movie. The rest of the movie was very mild mannered, sounded good, pretty even. And then it was just like, wow. Mm-hmm. That hurt my ears.
Yeah.
Which I guess it is an explosion. It would definitely hurt your ears in real life. So
yeah.
Maybe it's realism.
That's okay. No, that's valid. All valid things. All right. Josh, as the guest, would you like to start us off in enjoyment?
Is Josh really a guest or is he just a returning character?
As the returning champ, would you like to start us off in enjoyment or do you want to make one of us start it off?
Oh, it doesn't matter. I'll take it. Okay. I'm probably going to leave it right where it's at, a 3.
Okay.
I left, like I said at the beginning, feeling very, it was a movie, you know. Mm-hmm. It didn't live up to the hype that I wanted it to, but it wasn't terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, 3.
Jonah,
I'm gonna give this a 2.
Oh.
2.
Wow,
not Borderlands level, but
nothing. Borderlands, we handed out zeros.
Yeah, like I said, there's some stuff to like about this movie. Like we talked about the one levy. I'm not built to talk.
I disagree with you, actually.
I think Joan, I ain't gonna lie, I thought I was having a stroke there for a second.
I think that anyone who knows you are built to talk. I'm built to talk. You did just have a stroke there.
I was scared for my life. Like, is that burnt toast in the air?
What was I saying?
I don't know. You didn't get enough thought out for us to know.
There's good stuff about the movie, but I thought in terms of enjoyment, I think a lot of that is hinging on like the plot and how it flows and stuff. And there were so many times this movie, I was just like, man, what are we doing? I am like not having a good time. Nothing's happening. I feel like I'm just waiting for it to be over at this point. I'm gonna give it 2.
Okay. Yeah. I know I'm the weirdo in the room. I'm gonna give it a 4. I unironically liked this movie, and I think it has a lot of problems, but I really liked the movie. And in fact, I felt really bad because there were multiple points in the film that I was like locked in, hooked, and I started like feeling people groan and like look at each other and make jokes. And then I was like, I feel like a weirdo for like being locked in right now, like, and really enjoying it. I will probably watch this movie again when it comes on streaming and see if my opinion changes. It was part of the reason to watch it, to see if my opinion changes. But the other part is I kind of want to watch this movie, no distractions, no one in the theater, and just really go through it slowly on my own. Like, I enjoyed the movie. I recognize that I'm a weirdo, though.
I'm sure if you watch it again, you'll probably pick up on things that were missed.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was a lot happening. There was probably a lot happening in the background or in passing that we didn't pick up on.
Most of this movie is subtext. Like, it's never explicitly said. You are expected as an audience member to put together things that are not said across both movies. So I kind of want to do like a double feature one night and watch them both back to back. And maybe I'll like it less on the second viewing. But I don't think it was an amazing movie. I thought it was good. I liked it. I'm going to give it a 4.
That's fair.
Cole.
Well, me and Josh are going to keep our theme of having the same scores. I'm also going at 3.
At least I didn't copy you this time.
Yeah. I didn't hate it. Didn't love it, though. So I'm just going right in the middle. Very mid.
All righty. Joker 2 puts us at a nice, even 75%. I know Cole likes it when I go back and do the final scores. So I'm at an 84%. Got a B from me. You and Josh both gave it a 76%,
yep.
So a C, and then Jonah, being the harsh critic this episode, 64, a Ooh. D.
Jonah's turning into the villain.
I'm now Simon Cowell.
I like to think that we're like a health occupations course too, where like a D isn't passing. Like we need to just say like a 75 is passing. So like, or something high. Like, you know what I mean? I feel like a D isn't passing for certified movies fresh. Anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. So C score for one of the biggest movies of the year. What was supposed to be, I should say. What was supposed to be for all intents and purposes, one of the biggest movies of the year.
Compare that to, according to everybody, like, look at our score for Borderlands. People who say that was worse than Borderlands.
I was about
what did we get Borderlands?
Tomatoes. I think we gave Borderlands a 29.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was bad.
Josh, you missed a
hey, Josh, you want to come over next week?
I know you're interested. See, what is a 29?
Hey, I'm free Saturday if you guys are free. I'll watch it.
Borderlands, I'm busy. If we're not watching Borderlands.
I will be doing literally anything else. Josh, you can watch it and get us back to what your opinion.
I have a parade, but if you want to come over later in the evening, absolutely. Yeah. The only thing I kept thinking during Borderlands is I wish I was allowed to talk louder. I wish I had a beer.
Yes. Like, I wish I could leave.
If you let me,
I wish,
like,
I was watching a different movie.
I'm going to crack open a cold one, and if I can watch it and talk at full volume, I think it'd actually be a really good movie to watch.
Is it like a movie that would do okay at movie night?
No.
No.
Even that bad.
No, wow. it would get roasted at movie night.
We've watched some pretty stinkers at movie night.
It'd be one of those.
I ain't gonna lie, I'd rather watch Rock and Rule again than.
Yikes.
It'd be one that, like, you put in with the intention to roast.
Okay.
I hated Rock and Roll too, but I'd rather watch that more than over Borderlands. At least Rock and Roll looked good.
By the way, you might want to do it in post, but we didn't do our pre movie thoughts.
I didn't, and I actually, about a quarter of the way through, I actually just muted that channel. Yep. So yeah, we can go ahead and play that now. No, I'm not going to bother with that now.
So you can put it in post, I guess.
We all relatively thought that it was going to be, we wanted to go in with an open mind, I think is what we kind of felt, if I'm recalling correctly. Like, no one wanted to go in hating it. Like, we all were trying to have an open mind. Did anyone opinion change? I'd say mine changed. I actually thought it was going to be worse than it was. I expected to go in.
Yeah, I mean, everyone was hating on it pretty much. So, kind of from what you guys had told me prior to it, because I had avoided this like the plague online. If I saw anything that even pertained to Joker 2, I just scrolled past it.
Yeah, it's hard to escape it. I was kind of turned into the same thing too, but I couldn't escape it. I liked it more than people were making it sound.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Everyone who was like, "This is the worst movie of the year." Yeah, no, it's not.
There was people who I don't understand this completely. There's something called the Cinema Score, where it's like this company, these people, they poll audiences when they leave the theater.
I do know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. And this got a D, which I know I gave it a D. So this is a little hypocritical. But it got a D. But if you look at the stuff that this ranked higher than, this is the lowest comic book movie they ever like have polled. And I'm like,
that's no.
I don't know about that. Madam Web got like a C. I didn't see Madam Web, but it got a C. This got a D. I'm like,
those up. So audiences gave this a 31. Critics gave it a 33.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
81?
Yeah, no, 30. 31.
31. Okay, sorry.
Now, IMDb score, we're closer to, it's like a 5.5 out of 10. So
where are you on right now?
So that was Rotten Tomatoes. IMDb gave it a 5.3 out of 10.
5.3.
Where's Borderlands at now?
So that's what I was going to say. So like the Joker, the movie we just watched that we all agreed was okay, got a 33%.
That's insane.
Here's like, I think a lot of people will, when they go to a movie, they're mostly looking at the plot. But I feel like if you like take into account visuals and stuff, I feel like that's a 30 is very unfair.
I'm actually about to quit this podcast. Audiences gave Borderlands a 51.
What? No
but way. Critics gave it a 10.
But let's be honest here. Like, critics aren't the paying customers who influence a movie's success or not. Like,
51?
Audience?
Oh, wait, is that IMDb or Rotten Tomatoes?
Rotten Tomatoes.
Audiences so 51%
of the people liked it. That's what that means.
Yes.
That's insane.
Yes.
Are you guys stupid? Are you kidding me?
Another Rotten Tomatoes.
Madam Web. Here we go.
I didn't see Madam Web.
Oh, Madam Web has a 57. So here I'm actually with the critics. Like, it seems like the critics, some critics tried to give Joker a little bit more life. Like, it at least is sitting at a 33 from critics. But audiences, nearly 60% of audiences enjoyed Madam Web.
Huh. That's crazy.
I never watched it, but I heard it was terrible.
What else was bad? Haunted Mansion.
The Creator.
Oh, The Creator. Yeah, let's just run through the list.
Haunted Mansion. Memories.
2023. Here we go. Audiences gave Haunted Mansion 2 an 84%. Critics put Haunted Mansion 2 at a 37. So they
did they watch the same movie we did?
So they thought critics thought that The Joker 2 was almost as bad as Haunted Mansion.
I could see how some people for Haunted Mansion, if you were just going to watch a movie, kind of turn your brain off and have fun, I could maybe see it.
Maybe
it's not a good movie, but
critics gave The Creator a 67 and audiences gave it a 76.
I was going to say, you guys really hated that movie, but most people, from what I've heard, didn't hate it.
Everyone else is idiots.
I didn't see it, so I can't say.
We are the professionals.
I don't think
the professional critics.
I don't think I've talked to anyone that liked it. Like, in person.
I don't think anyone else has seen it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I've not talked to anybody that's seen it.
I agree with Jonah. Like, the consensus online was that it was okay. Yeah. Like, it was a mediocre movie, but I've not talked to a single person in person who liked that movie.
Hey, they're paid off. Everyone online is being paid off.
Any other movies I should look up while we're trashing?
I don't know. What? FNAF?
FNAF, yeah. Well, that one probably has
no,
a high audience.
No, audience probably liked that one, actually.
Because there's a huge Finance Freight's fan base that liked that movie.
I can't wait for the Minecraft movie, guys.
FNAF got a 32 from critics and an 86 from audience.
That's
so
insane.
That is the closest score we've gotten. Yeah. So critics thought that the Joker 2 movie was on the same quality level as Five Nights at Freddy's.
No, I would disagree strongly with that.
Once again, and I cannot stress this enough, and it actually makes my blood boil. If you touched me right now, I would burn you. Hollywood tried something different, and people are like having an actual high-speed come apart on the internet. It's like, how dare they not make the same movie we were used to watching for 40 years? It
I
makes
think
me
it's
mad.
Because society, as a generalized statement.
If you're going to say the word society, you have to paint on the Joker makeup.
Society.
I think that we've been trained to expect cookie cutter movies.
100%. Yeah.
So
that's the problem.
Yeah, you're going to get a knee jerk, hate this reaction from society in general.
We like what we know.
Yeah, yes. This happens a lot. I think it happens with video games too. Like,
why do you think Call of Duty has about 15 games?
Yeah, it's like, I feel like people will be that, like, video games have no soul anymore. There's no good video games. And I feel like you just don't branch out a little bit more, you know?
Yeah.
Go play an indie game.
Yeah, go play. Yeah, literally. Yeah, there's so much creative stuff.
I get it. Like,
this is going to be one of those movies, I feel like it is, similar to video games and many other movies where like 15 years from now,
be a cult following.
People are going to be like, oh, you know what? We're too harsh on this movie.
Yeah, or the Star Wars prequels or something.
Star Wars prequels, yeah. You know,
actually, this isn't that bad. You
it's
know?
Not terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just, I'll read these later. I was just skimming some of the top critic reviews. But no, it genuinely breaks my heart that like, what?
Sorry, but I kind of want to see how it scores up to Space Jam New Legacy.
Okay. Oh, well, I looked that up.
So
I was
you guys
say,
are pretty harsh on that in the
Yeah, it genuinely breaks my heart, though, that Hollywood is trying, and I keep saying Hollywood in such a broad sense. Space Jam has a 26 from critics and a 79 from audience.
79? Dang.
Is that a bunch of kids?
Probably kids.
Yeah. Tomatoes.
Thumbs
up. Cole when he first watched it before.
Yeah,
yeah, but go make sure you don't
I was indifferent on.
True, too.
You know like, what? At least the Joker beat Space Jam 2.
I mean, it has that going for it. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Have you not watched Space Jam 2, Josh?
No.
Honestly, Josh,
what are you doing Saturday
feature,
night?
Borderlands and Space
after
Jam
Joker
2.
What are you doing? Yeah.
Bad you know what, night. Guys? I may may actually start drinking if we do that double feature.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. Okay, well, before I get any more sad about the shape of the world, does anyone have anything to add? It's 10:05, which is not crazy late, people on the internet listening to this, but whenever, like, I think all four of us work tomorrow. Jonah, do you work tomorrow?
I work at 4, so.
Okay, well.
Jonah can sleep in. Me, yeah. Josh, and Tyler have to go to work.
Jonah probably just woke up from a nap before he came here.
I woke up at 3 today, so I got plenty of time.
Man, I want your schedule, Jonah.
I was about
my
to be like,
goodness.
We all have to work tomorrow, and Jonah just looked at me like,
no.
Oh, yes, but I don't have to go until 4.
Yeah.
Two of us have to go deal with children and put on a happy face, like, and just pretend that we love our jobs.
You sound like the Joker that got to put on a happy face.
I got to deal with citizens.
Ew. You're in a similar situation. Society. Us three have to go in, and no matter how upset we are tomorrow, pretend we're having the time of our lives.
No, I kind of want to go in there and be upset and, like, hey, what's wrong? Like, well, I looked at the Rotten Tomatoes score comparisons for Joker 2, and I'm not happy
Joker?
With what I saw.
Ever heard of this?
Kids, let me tell you a story.
Only a noose.
You know Borderlands?
Kids, you ever heard of Space Jam? Have you ever heard of Bugs Bunny?
Have you heard of Mikal Jardine?
You ever heard of the three-pump sensei?
That's where you should have just cut it off right there. Boop.
All right. I don't have anything to add. If you guys don't have anything to add, thank you for listening or watching or wherever you're viewing this at. Josh, I'm glad you could join us for another one.
Yeah, it was a fun time. Thanks for having me.
What do we? I would really like to go see Heretic next, if at all possible.
Is that in theaters?
It's A24, so probably not.
What about Speak No Evil?
And Wild Robot, too.
Speak No Evil hit theaters.
Yeah. Oh. Is it still in theaters?
Wild Robots. Out.
Wild Robots, what I was going to say. Yeah. I've heard that Wild Robot is amazing. Yeah. I've heard like 10 out of 10. So I think that should be our next one.
Is it not just a rehashing of the Iron Giant?
We'll find out.
I hope not. Yeah. I would like to go see Heretic or the Wild Robot next. I was going to ask, do you guys have a movie that you guys are excited for? Is it the Wild Robot for you?
In terms of what's out now, I'd say Wild Robot. I'm trying to remember what else is coming out.
I want to see that
Mickey 17.
That looked good.
Oh, that looked really good.
That is now my new most excited for movie. Yeah.
That looks
English right there. I just said
most excited for.
What was that movie? I think it's just called like Right Here. It's that movie with Tom Hanks.
That does look
here. Where it's all shot in one. It's the camera doesn't move. It's all in one room.
Mm-hmm. Back to the Future director, Golden Man.
That was a cool.
It looks crazy good.
That did look good. No, I saw that trailer for Mickey 17, and when it said Bong Joon-ho, I was like, I bought my ticket. Let's go. And then as the trailer went on, I was like, I don't
director
normally
of
watch
Parasite.
Trailers. I was like, oh, you know what? Bong Joon-ho aside, this looks really good. And Robert Pattinson, I've actually come to really like Robert Pattinson.
I get it. He was the Twilight guy for the longest time, but he went off and did like...
He's turned it around.
A bunch of his like... indie movies, and then The Lighthouse, and now he's Batman.
So I saw him in Tenet, and I was like, he's a good actor. I was like, he's really good.
Lighthouse with him and Defoe just going off each other?
Yeah. Ooh.
He went from a guy that like dudes hated like in Twilight, and now he's Batman, and now dude is like, but Rob Pattinson's the coolest guy I've ever met.
Here's the thing, everyone was like, when he got announced as Batman, everyone hated the idea of him being Batman, but he was good.
Yeah,
I think those people had not seen him in anything else.
I would agree. Yeah,
I don't know that I've watched anything of Robert Pattinson's besides Twilight.
Yes, I should watch the Batman.
Batman's good.
Hey, Josh, what are you doing after Space Jam 2? When
we're done watching, how many movies are you watching?
I like
Saturday?
How it's like, hey, Tyler, we won't ever come do your Lord of the Rings marathon, but we'll watch a marathon consisting of Borderlands, Space Jam 2, and then the Batman.
That's like eating poop, drinking pee, and then eating like a steak. That's crazy, like
a
little
good
deal.
Steak.
Yeah, good steak.
A 3-hour-long steak.
Yeah.
Ooh. All right. Well, hey, I started to say it, then I got sidetracked. Thank you guys for tuning in. If you enjoyed this, please share it with your friends. Jonah,
do it.
Give us your best Joker impression.
Oh, well, watch the episode. Arr, ha 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 ha, funny.